I'm Amrita Burdick, and this evening's program will explore Kansas City, Missouri's long-ignored sewer and water infrastructure problem. This is causing serious pollution of streams and rivers in the area, and it's causing exploding water rates for consumers. Let's remember the context here. In 2010, Kansas City, Missouri was releasing 6.5 billion, that's billion with a B, gallons of untreated sewage into the waterways of the area annually. That's about 1,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools worth of untreated sewage each year. Picnicking beside a smelly river is unappetizing. Swimming there is ill-advised, and any fish caught probably are not safe to eat. Another very unneighborly factor of this kind of pollution is that we pass it along to communities downstream. We really can't ignore this, but the needed and long-delayed infrastructure repairs surely also should not come at a steep cost for those who already struggle to afford water. I've heard quite a few people complaining about the water rate increases, but for some, it is truly urgent. For instance, you are a single parent with a couple kids. You've been working two jobs at minimum wage and are trying to keep your head above water. All the utilities have gone up, water bills by more than 200%, and your salary hasn't gone up at all. The two checks don't stretch far enough to cover all the essentials of life, rent, electricity, gas, food, your youngest kid's meds, and you've been slipping behind. One night you come home to find the water has been shut off. There's no drinking water, so you ask to fill up a few gallons at a neighbor's house just to keep you through the night. There's no water to bathe, no water to flush the toilet, and unfortunately, it looks like you will need to try to find a way to take time off work, without pay of course, to resolve a problem that will cost even more money you don't have. This evening's program is going to focus on this kind of burden of increasing water rates. We will be talking with Dr. Majid Beni-Yagoub about a student mathematics research project studying water shutoffs by zip code, with Mrs. Phyllis Muturi, who had a startling water bill of over $500, and with Mrs. Betty Warren Smith, a community leader with the Casey Urban Roots Coalition, who recently chaired a meeting at the Vineyard Neighborhood Association near 43rd and Jackson in one of the zip code areas most affected by water shutoffs. Let's see what they have to say. This afternoon, I'm talking briefly with Dr. Majid Beni-Yagoub. Dr. Majid Beni-Yagoub is an assistant professor of applied mathematics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and he had a rather interesting student project a while back that he worked with in which he compared water shutoffs by zip code area. And so I'm going to be asking him about that today. So,
yeah, in spring 2017, we had this project in Math 206, which is a lower level math class for business and finance students mainly. And we gave them a project about the water cutoffs in Kansas City, and the goal was to find out if there is any correlation between the water cutoffs and low-income zip codes. Mm-hmm. So we divided the 60 zip codes in Kansas City, Missouri. Most of them were in Missouri, maybe two of them in Kansas. And we asked them to put the pieces of puzzle together and see which zip codes have been struggling to pay their bills. And we saw that over the past 8 years, there have been certain zip codes that have been hit really hard, and among those, there were four zip codes that they were on top of the list. So those four zip codes are 64130 and 64132, 64127, and 64128. These were the ones that they were hit really hard. And last year was really bad because we had over 21,000 cases of water cutoffs in Kansas City.
That's the whole Kansas City, 21,000.
Kansas City, Missouri, yes.
Yes. Where did the data come from?
I received the data from the filmmaker, Mr. Michael Price, and yes. I guess he received the data from the water company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it did come originally from the Kansas City Water Department.
I believe so, yes.
That. And did you compare the numbers of water shutoffs then to other areas of the city?
We compared the water cutoffs, the incidence and the prevalence of water cutoffs in each zip code, and we had the data about the household income related to each zip code, and the number of or percentage of households living with family and those who are having kids, and we noticed that actually there are some zip codes that they had large numbers of water cutoffs and high percentage of families with kids, so which was concerning. So I understand that the city is trying to improve the infrastructure, and there are some necessary jobs that need to be done. But on the other hand, we want to make sure that these things are done in a way that not low-income families are getting hit the most. So I think the best way is to increase the water bills in a way that it is adjusted according to the gross annual income of the families, so that everything will be done properly.
It sounds like you worked only with data and not in and did not do interviews with the people that were involved. Is that the case?
That is the case. Yeah, we received the data, and I guess that way we usually, that's the way we do it, because mm-hmm. we don't want our analysis to be influenced by the opinions of the different people. Mm-hmm. So we just mm-hmm. receive the data mm-hmm. and we just do mm-hmm. an honest study mm-hmm. or investigation of the case, and that's what we found. So we had the U.S. Census data that was showing the household incomes, mm-hmm. and we had the water cutoff data, and we put them together, and that's what we found.
Mm-hmm. What percentage of the families had water cutoffs, would you say?
Again, that is varying from one zip code to another mm-hmm, zip code. Mm-hmm. So there were some zip codes that they had a higher percentage of rental properties. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the factors. And there were some zip codes that they had a higher percentage of low-income families. Mm-hmm. So they were hit much mm-hmm. harder. And mm-hmm. in fact, this is like mm-hmm. common sense. So mm-hmm. if you're increasing the water bills over 240%, and those who are low income are going to be hit hardest compared to the other ones. Dividing the Kansas City area with respect to the zip codes, we should consider that the low income families, sometimes they're divided between two or three zip codes.
Yes.
So as a result of that, you see that there is a zip code that is not low income, but is neighboring with a low-income mm-hmm. zip code. So part of that zip code has been hit really bad, and then the other part not. So we may wonder why the middle-income zip code is also showing like high rates of water cutoffs. The reason is that if you look at the map, you see that the neighboring zip code is a low-income zip code. Average monthly water bills, that is starting from $43,
okay,
it went up to 101. This was 2008. This is 2016. It's been going up really
fast. Yes, water bills definitely have been increasing, and they're talking about doubling it again, which is why I'm starting to inquire about this.
Yeah, and the other thing, the other issue is that I heard it that actually they're going to, right now the grace period is 3 months. I heard that they're going to shorten that grace period. Mm-hmm. But again, that's not my job. Something I heard from somebody. So
they're also, the other thing they're going to do is, according to the task force, probably that they are going to decrease, they've been giving up to $500 a year for a person if they get behind on the water bills. I think probably because they anticipate there are going to be more people that are having problems with water bills, they're going to decrease the amount so they can increase the number of people that will get some funding toward their water bills. So it's a complex problem.
It is a complex problem, and I guess the solution to this problem is not that complicated. You need to redefine the water rates mm-hmm. based on the income. So those who are low income, probably they shouldn't see increase in their water bills because they're already low income. So it's unfair to treat a low income family same as a high income family. And I think when it gets to the water, we have to be careful because water is a necessity.
Yes.
And we cannot live without water.
Yes.
Maybe we can live without electricity mm-hmm. in the summer or sometime that the weather is nice, but without water, I mean, the house becomes uninhabitable, so we cannot really live. So that's something that, if you want to look at the prevalence, I can mm-hmm. mention that among those four zip codes that I mentioned earlier, the prevalence in some times, in some years, reached to 40%, which is a huge number. Now, that doesn't mean that 40% of houses there experienced water cutoffs, because it could be that a certain house had multiple water cutoffs. But 40% is a huge number.
That's a lot of people. That's almost half.
And then when we compare it to the high income zip codes, we had cases that it was about 2% or 3%, 5%. So it's there is a huge difference between the top 10 and bottom 10 zip codes with respect to the household income.
What would you say the implications are for the city and its charging structure personally? Do you have, the students came up with some solutions. Do you have?
I think the main, I have to summarize. Some, they were proposing that, okay, maybe the high income families can contribute or donate so that money will be collected somewhere, and then we can actually help the low-income families. That was interesting. The other thing was that, okay, maybe we can prorate it according to the income of the families. So that is also interesting. There are some extra costs because you're sending the crews there to do the water cutoff. So that
That's
is also a cost.
That's a cost, yes.
So maybe we can work it out so they don't have to do these water cutoffs. Instead of that, that money can be used to help the low-income families so they can pay their bills. I completely understand that this is a problem and that the infrastructure needs to be fixed. And there is no question about that.
Yes.
And the water companies, they cannot survive without charging people for the water that is being consumed. That is completely understandable, but there should be a solution that works for all, or at least there should be some sort of organizations that they can help low-income families. I know that there are some out there, but maybe it's not enough. So there are still lots of families that they're struggling paying their water bills, and it sounds unfair. It sounds unfair to me.
I think that's the main information I wanted to gather from you for your
This is Amrita Burdick. I'm with KKFI, and this afternoon we are interviewing a lady named Mrs. Phyllis Muturi, who came to a water task force meeting with an interesting story. I'm going to ask her about that. You know, many people are concerned about the rising costs of water bills, but you had an exceptionally intense water bill. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I received a bill in March with the high usage rating that cost like $545.22. Prior to that, my normal water usage bill was running like $61 or less. So I was attending the meeting to address the issue of the high water bill that I received. And as of today, I've got a little bit of recourse back on it as to why they thought it was. They said I had a leak in the house. I couldn't verify a leak in the house. They couldn't verify a leak in the house. They replaced the meter. But after they replaced the meter, then I had a leak in the house because they didn't install it correctly. Well, they installed it correctly, but they didn't tighten up a bolt or something on it that caused it to leak and flood out the basement.
That's what I heard. I heard that you had flooding in the basement after they installed the new meter. Now, it's been, it may not have been long enough to get another bill to check it out. Can you tell me what's happening? Do you have any idea what's happening currently as far as your water usage and how they're looking at that?
Well, the next bill that I received was still involving a high water usage. The balance on it was like $162. And still not justified as to why I'm having this high water reading. But I did talk to Mr. Clarkson this morning, and he assured me that they were going to make an adjustment of the balance of the bill.
Yes.
And I'm just waiting for that to happen. But as far as the damage to the basement, I have a claim in with the city, and I'm waiting for some forms they were supposed to send me. I haven't received those as of today.
Okay. I would say that hopefully this is a rare case, but what would you say about the water department's handling of an anticipated high bill?
Well, prior to me going to the meeting,
yeah,
I didn't get any kind of resolution at all. You know, sorry, you're going to have to pay the bill, it's your bill, case closed. after the meeting, like I said, I talked to Mr. Clarkson just today and received the information that they were going to make a credit adjustment on the bill. So I'm kind of satisfied with that as of today, mm-hmm. that they're going to do that.
They were talking at the meeting about how they handle people with high bills, which are legitimate bills, and they're talking about offering assistance. Did that come into play in what you were working with?
Well, they referred me to a service that was going to assist you with high water bills, mm-hmm. and utility bills. And they did pay $500 mm-hmm. Of the portion of the bill. So the reason why I came anyway is because I'm thinking, you know, after they told me I have this unexplained high bill and then where to go get the money to pay it, I mm-hmm. thought was kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, they knew where the money was to get, and I still understand why I had the bill, but they're making adjustments, so it should take care of the problem for me.
So they did the $500 assistance as part of this bill mm-hmm. in particular, too. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're still waiting to hear what's happening as far as the damages.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm. I am. Because right now, the basement smells moldy, mm-hmm. where it didn't before, because my son lived down in that room.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of allergies and stuff like that, so we never had any problem with mold and mildew down there. And now we're having a problem with mold and mildew down there. So that carpet needs to be pulled out of there, and it needs to be treated for mold and mildew, and then re-carpeted is what needs to happen.
I would say that I hope this is something that is rare and that people don't end up getting these kinds of really excessive bills. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about how they're trying to trace down where a leak might be coming from? Did the water department?
They're not. They told me that the meter was reading correctly. Mm. And they took the meter that was reading this out, so you yes. don't have any way to go back and check to see if that meter was really working properly yeah. or not. But they yeah. said it's working properly, and, you know, I don't have any way of yeah. disputing that or whatever. So you have to go by what they say, you know, mm-hmm. because they replaced it. And the guy that came out to replace it, you know, did it kind of quickly and left the valve open, and it's caused a water problem.
Yeah.
So, I have yeah. no way of knowing
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
what really that meter. They say the meter was reading right. You got to go yeah. with what they say.
I wondered if there were any water services that would help homeowners detect leaks.
No, they told me that they don't do that. You'd have to have a private plumber or somebody out mm-hmm. to look. I'm like, I'm not paying for a plumber when I don't have a problem. You know, I have pay somebody to come out here and say, well, I don't see nothing wrong. I don't have extra money like that. I'm on limited income.
So do you have any feedback for people in terms of dealing with the water department should they come up with a tough bill?
Well, I would suggest if you have one of these high water usage bills that's abnormal for your household, to call them and speak to them. They do have a claims department that they can refer you to if you have issues with water that you didn't cause, or they caused it, or whatever. Definitely get in contact with their customer service and speak to supervisors if you have to, in order to get your resolution. Because it seems to be working so far for me.
Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So I'm still waiting about the claims, yeah. but as far as the water bill and that thing, and just what they made, it seems to be working.
Yeah. Guess you just have to wait to see how the next bill looks.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. So. So those are the questions I wanted to ask you that I thought might be helpful for people as they deal with, you know, high water bills and particularly an unexpectedly high mm-hmm. water bill. So I really appreciate you coming out and giving us this information.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'm talking today with Mrs. Betty Warren Smith, who shared a recent
neighborhood meeting in which they talked about water rates. This meeting was at the Vineyard Neighborhood Association. That's at
43rd and Jackson. And so this piece came, and I thought this is something that we hear people complaining about a lot. I wanted people to see the video.
And this video was the video about the mathematics students project about coordinating zip codes with water shutoffs.
And so it was just a deep concern, because many of the people in our big umbrella group, they live within those. And so they thought it was an issue because people are just really in dire straits trying to pay those high water bills.
Can you tell me how it is affecting the neighborhood?
One of the things we were not aware of, and I guess because many of us already have water, have had it established for years, but we were concerned about the deposits. And there's no flexibility with the people getting making those payments. They have to pay it all at one time. And then in the clip we saw, people having $600-some-odd water bills. Yeah, and so they're just things that people cannot sustain. Many people gave examples, like in my case, for about 6 or 7 years, I've been taking care of my mother 24/7 in her home, but I'm still getting these exorbitant water bills. And so I'm like, well, why? And when you call and you ask some questions, and so they're saying, well, maybe you have a leak, or maybe this, or maybe that, or, you know. And so one individual addressing this, well, hasn't accomplished anything. And so when we saw this and saw that they were basically, we're getting the brunt of paying more than anyone else, and we thought this was just not the way this should be.
I just talked not too long ago to a lady that had a $500 water bill when usually hers were $61. And she also was told that probably there's a leak in your house.
So there's been no bathing there. I've slept one night in my own bed in going into 7 years now. And one other thing that I passed out in that meeting, there was an insert in the water bill. And it dealt with where people were seeming like they got higher bills at certain time of the year. And the justification for that was that, in the summertime, people have pools and they have gardens, and so they're watering. And so at certain times of the year, I don't have that piece exactly with me now, that you're getting charged what you actually consume. But other times, they're charging you on what they assume based on gardens and pools and that kind of thing. And then they also said, the piece said that like the holidays, that you're going to have family in, and so they're flushing the stool and you're cooking and everything. Well, now, so you're charging me in that manner. I'm not at home, but you're charging me a rate for sewer, assuming that I'm cooking. No one's there. You're charging me assuming that I have a pool. Well, in this time, as high as water bills are, who has a pool? And in our area, who has a pool? And many of them don't have gardens.
For water shutoffs that you might know about in the neighborhood, what would you say was the most likely cause of the water being shut off? Was it an ongoing crunch of bills? Did they say it was water leaks? Was it something else?
Well, many of it was because the bills were too high. You know, these were people who had... One lady, the lady that they featured the most in the clip was, she had two children, and you could see where she was conserving. She, you know, her son was getting ready to brush his teeth, and she made sure that he water was off, brushing teeth, that kind of thing, you know. But I know people. There's a girl that I know out in Independence. When she goes to the toilet, she simply does not flush the stool because of the cost of water. So people should not be faced with those kinds of decisions. And then a lot of people are using bottled water. So the rationale is just not there.
So mostly it is just the high water bills.
Since 2008 or 2010, about 222%.
Yes.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And they stated in the piece that, you know, they hadn't anticipated that people's wages wouldn't go up that much. Well, even if their wages went up, you're telling me that you're going to just charge every time a wage goes up? Look at the people. There are quite a few people who are on fixed incomes in those areas. Everybody knows that people have not received an increase in those fixed incomes.
Yes.
This time, my mother got a check, and she was so disgusted, for $3. Well, what can $3 do? And then someone, okay, so you've got your utilities, your lights, your gas, your water, your telephone, taxes on all of that. You get a $3 raise on a fixed income, but yet still they're going to raise these utility bills up. It doesn't make good sense, and the water is just extravagant, and people need water to exist.
That's true, definitely true. It's an essential human need.
Exactly.
So
you know, they're penalizing people because they need to stay alive, and that's what it is. Because you don't have water, you don't stay alive.
It is a really tough crisis. I can understand the city wanting to fix infrastructure, because I definitely also don't like the idea of them flushing sewage into the rivers around here, but they really have to do something about the costs. What do you think the city could do, or what could other groups do to help this situation?
Now, I guess what most of us were concerned about was, they said there were 13 zip codes that seemed to be getting the brunt of this, but the four zip codes, which were 6427283030 and 32, were being hit the hardest. And they were saying that a lot of this was caused from the Kansas side, with sewage and whatever coming down over to Kansas City. And so my point was, this is really odd, because before you get to those zip codes, you have 64110. You have 64111, you have 64114. So there's something wrong. The last part of that was, I wanted people to brainstorm on solutions for how we would address this, and solutions we might come up with before we went and talked to anyone at the city. And so hopefully within the next 1 to 2 weeks, we will have a plan of how we will address this. I think most of our community is angry about is we have people who pretend that they are representing us, but they never come back into the community and talk with us, get our ideas, and even when we call them or we send them letters, as many of us have, they just blow us off.
You're talking about how you deal with the city and the issue makers. What concrete things do the people need to deal with this? Is it just... they just need the rates lowered? Do they need assistance? What's the...
Well, the thing is, you know, I think many... I know, let's say myself here, there's always a thing that, they just want someone to give them something. No, we don't. But, there are people who work every day, but they don't feel like they want to be taken advantage of and then have to go to some agency, as they mentioned, the Bishop Sullivan and some other agencies had to help these people. Well, we don't want the help in that manner. We just want things to be at a reasonable cost so we can maintain ourselves. We're not asking anyone to give us a dime. But when you go 242% on your rates, and many people are out of jobs, people on fixed incomes, but you're expecting them to pay these bills, that's ludicrous.
And this is a city service.
Yes. And then on top of that now, there's a bond issue, there's a tax. There's a tax, there's a bond issue. Almost every year or every other year. And on top of that now, what people haven't realized is when you get the water bill, there's a tax on that. And the tax is based on how much your water bill is. So there's a lot of flaky stuff there that I don't understand.
I think the main quandary that city is facing right now is, how can we make water affordable for people, and how can we fix the infrastructure?
Everyone should pay their fair share, number one.
Thank you so much for your comments and your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for asking me to come in.
Give a shout out to Amrita Burdick for the fine job she did tonight. This was her maiden show on Radioactive Magazine, and we look forward to some fine reporting from her in the future. She put together all these interviews herself, so good job, Amrita. Next week, we're going to have a twofer on Radioactive Magazine. First of all, Bryce Lockwood's going to talk about the 1967 attack by Israel against the USS Liberty that killed 34 and injured 171, and also an update on the Kansas City, Missouri school. District. So Radioactive Magazine next Tuesday. Stay tuned for Counterspin, followed by Taste of Tejano.